Welcome to the Voices of the West, hosted by Emil Franzi and dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
Hi there. Welcome back to Voices of the West. We're going to do something a little special today, but before we get to it, our good friend Doug Hawking is on the line from the Tucson Festival of Books. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Emil.
Oh, who's this?
This is Doug.
Oh, they are. Okay, good. Thank you. Didn't recognize your voice for a minute there.
Well, my voice is changing. You know how that is when you go through,
puberty.
Yes.
That's Bunker de France, in case you didn't know it. Anyway, if you went through that same operation I did, and we know how that works. And now we're slim and trim, aren't we?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Can
I belch?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something else. Walking around with those three bowling balls attached to my stomach, I'm feeling better for it. How about you?
Oh, much, much, much better. I'm no longer diabetic, and I can breathe at night.
Congratulations.
And I can walk around.
Yeah, how about that? All right, so you guys are down there at the book festival. How many people at the... Well, we got two tables. I think we got the Western Writers of America, and then we got the Western Writers of America 2 at the next table, something like that, don't we?
Right, that's exactly right. They're calling us Amigos and Ladies of the West, and we're right next to the Western Writers. I've got Chris Enns and Mel Grove here with me, and somewhere around here is Rocky Gibbons and Nancy Plain.
Okay, that's on your table. The next door, you got Johnny Boggs and Candy Moulton, and I think Dusty, don't you?
And Dusty, and popping in and out has been Will Bagley and John Chandler.
All right, good crew. Now, here's the point of us doing this. Those of you listening to this show, if you want to go down and meet about 10 or 12 of the greatest authors of Western literature, fiction and nonfiction right now, they're there. And bring your credit card, because you might want to buy a book or two while you're at it. And where are you in regards to the physical layout of that show? Because I got to find you tomorrow.
Well, we're easy to remember. It's booth 123, and we are down near the bandstand, just behind Old Main.
Good location.
Okay, bandstand behind. Okay, so you're on the west side of the action there.
Yes, we're at the west end of things.
Okay, cool. And both tables are right next to each other.
123 and 124 or 122 is Western Writers.
1-2 and 123 is you dudes. All right, that's cool. I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun. How's business? Who's tracking in?
Oh, boy. Chris Enns has sold out all her books.
Great.
Candy Mel and I have been doing great. Sold a lot of books today. They've been real great, folks. The weather's been just about perfect.
Okay. And, well, I don't know who brought them. Boggs could probably outnumber just about all of you on how many he's published, but Dusty'd be hanging in there too. I've got a couple of rows of him at home.
Yeah, but Boggs is writing one now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we always kid him about that. Well, you took 2 hours off to be on the radio today, Johnny, and we know that cost you a novel. At any rate, everybody that really cares about Western writing and the West and the literature of the Old West, or the New West for that matter, show up. Somebody's selling something in the background, aren't they?
Yeah, Mel's got customers over there looking at Nancy's books.
What about the panels? You guys got any panels going?
I think Nancy was on one of them.
Doesn't Johnny have one too, or Sharon one?
Oh, they might well have. I've been too busy here to ask.
Good.
Okay, I get you. All right, I'm going to let you go back to selling books, Doug.
Okay, would you like to talk to Mel?
You bet.
Chris?
She's a lot better. Either one of them are much better looking than you are, Doug Tiger.
Well, there you go. Well, not so much anymore now that I've gotten skinny.
That's true. I barely
really
recognize
you. Tell the girls.
All right. I won't tell your wife.
No, don't tell her. Here's Mel.
Hey, how you doing?
Melody Groves, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Selling books, I hope.
Lots and lots and lots of books and meeting very nice, interesting people.
I mean, that's a, you know, I don't know how many people are going to walk by those tables today, but obviously it's pretty good because Doug says a couple people are already sold out and it's only the first day.
Right.
And tomorrow may be even heavier. You never know.
It might. The weather is absolutely picture perfect, and I would bet we've seen 40, 50,000 people come by. I would bet.
Woo! All right. And it's nice to know that they're reading books.
Amen.
Books have not gone away. But
they have not gone away. If anything, they're expanding. And people come by and they're saying, especially with the Western books, they're saying, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you for writing Westerns. We've heard about some guy named L'Amour and Gray, but, oh, we like, you know, more modern Westerns, so... It's just been amazing.
Well, that's what Melody Groves and Doug Hawking and Johnny Boggs and all of you are good for. So there. And a lot of nonfiction stuff coming out of you, too.
Yes, there is.
I really appreciate this. I appreciate what you guys are doing, and I'll see you tomorrow.
We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll be by, and I'm going to tell everybody else, get over there, and get over there quick, because some of this stuff might just sell out on you. And you don't want to have to pay shipping.
Right. I've sold out on one of my titles already, so I'll have to hope I brought more.
Oh, really? Good for you.
Yeah, nice.
Which one is it?
My bar book.
Okay, I was going to say the Colton Brothers series is worth the trouble.
Well, thank you, but my bar book is sold out.
Yeah, your bar book is good because I stopped in New Mexico up there by Rio Doso and went to the one you had in the movie, or I had in the book, excuse me.
Was that the San Patricio one?
Bingo. All right, darling.
Okay.
Thanks a bunch. We'll catch you in the morning.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, dear. Okay. Say hi to everybody else.
Will do.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. What are we doing from here?
Well, from here.
Harry, it's your show. Take it from here.
From here.
You and Bunker.
Well, we're going to be talking about the High Chaparral reunion coming up next week, the 17, 18, 19, and 20 of March. But before we get into that, we're going to take a commercial break here right fast.
Well, I was going to let you know that I ain't going to be here on the 19th. I'll be at Shelton's 95th birthday party.
All right.
Voices of the West will be right back. Welcome back to Voices of the West.
We are back on the Voices of the West radio program, and no, I am not Emil Franzi, but he is in the other studio. Bunker DeFrance is also in the studio, and we've got coming up... And next week, the High Chaparral reunion. Bunker, go for it.
Well, you know, this is a really a unique one this year because we've been doing it. It got so popular. Used to be every other year. They came to Old Tucson and did the first one here about 5 years ago. It was so popular that it went from every other year to every year. And this year, they've outdone themselves. They've got a lot of other people coming in, not just the High Chaparral, but Bob Fuller from Laramie, Ed Faulkner, who did a lot of the John Wayne pictures. And just it's going to be outstanding, and it's a full day each and every day. Thursday is check-in day. People will be coming in and out all day long. We have one of the big banquet halls. It has around the walls. There's a silent auction table. There'll be videos of the High Chaparral up on a big screen going continuously. And then Friday we'll have panels. There will be picture signing. Some of the stars will be there, and you can talk to them, visit. It's just a great, great opportunity. Friday night is the sponsor's dinner, and that's probably sold out because it sells out very early.
Real fast.
And then Saturday we'll be out at Old Tucson, the reunion out there, and we'll be out there, I think it's from 10 until a little after 12. We'll have tables out there, again, people signing pictures and visiting. There'll be a lot of photo opportunities. You'll be able to look around, talk to people. And then when you're all done, you can kind of hang out at Old Tucson and enjoy some of their what they have to offer. Sunday is the wrap-up. There'll be some panels. There'll be some opportunity to visit. They'll wrap up the silent auction. There'll be live auctions throughout that. On various nights throughout there, Don Collier does a
one-man show.
One-man show, reminiscence of an old cowboy. Boyd Mayer and another little lady from the Virginia Roberta Show will be doing a love letters. But it's just a great, fun-filled event.
Well, one of the folks who's going to be out there is Robert Fuller, and you probably may be asking yourself, who the devil is Robert Fuller? Probably known a little bit more in the 1970s for his role on the television program Emergency as Dr. Kelly Brackett. But before that, he was in a program called Laramie, right, Bunker?
He was in Laramie. He was also in Wagon Train. He replaced Bob Fuller there for the last couple of years.
And we've got Bob Fuller, a pre-recorded interview that we're going to do now. So you're going to be here for the High Chaparral reunion. You were never in that particular series, though, but I know you've got love for westerns.
Well, I sure do. You know, I've been in Laramie and Wagon Train and several western movies. In fact, Don Collier did some of the Laramies with me, and also did a Western movie, Incident at Phantom Hill. So Don Collier and I go way back.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, he's a regular, and, you know, he did the Outlaws and Bonanza and Gunsmoke and all of that kind of stuff. But he was the guy on High Chaparral along with Rudy Ramos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rudy was a kid in those days.
Yeah.
Right? But it's great to have the two of them there. They're old friends, and I get to see them. There's some good people coming. I'm sure everybody remembers Ed Faulkner from so many John Wayne movies.
Yeah.
Green Beret,
yep.
Undefeated. He did a lot of Have Gun Will Travels.
Mm-hmm.
We got a couple of great gals coming. The lovely Barbara Luna, who I've worked with several times.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done High Chaparral.
Right.
And I don't know how many times, but probably more than once. And Roberta Shore, who has done Laramie with me, and was, of course, you know, on the Virginian for many years.
Right.
On the same lot. And an old buddy stuntman of mine, Neil Summers. Good guy. We've worked together over the last 50 years together. And another good friend of mine. You know, one of my not one of them, but the idol of all times of mine is Joel McRae.
I noticed that, yes.
Yeah.
He was a great cowboy.
He was the best. There's nobody could ride a horse like he could.
Yeah.
He was a cowboy.
Yep.
Well, his grandson, Wyatt, is a good friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to be there. And I'm always happy to see him. We have a good time together.
Cool.
One of the really sharp guys in our industry, he's Arizona's official Western film historian.
It's Charlie.
Charlie the Swear.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Charlie?
We had him on the Voices of the West program a couple weeks back, and just a fascinating guy and with all kinds of, he's like a walking encyclopedia.
He knows more about me than I know about myself. I mean, I'll be on a panel with him, and he'll bring up something that I didn't even remember I did. And he can go through the whole litany. It's unbelievable.
Hmm.
But he's fabulous. And then Boyd Majors, who's you know, one of the head guys of the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with Boyd quite a bit, but it's a great group. The fans are going to have a lot of fun. You know, March 17, 18, 19, 20.
That's right.
It's a four-day deal with lots of fun.
Is this your first High Chaparral reunion, or have you been to them before?
No, I haven't. This is my first one.
Oh, cool.
In fact, Don asked me, I guess we were in Kanab, Utah or something a year or so ago, and mm-hmm. he was telling me about this, and then he called me and said, would I come do this one? I said, you bet. I'd love to come down there.
Yeah, yeah. But you've been to Tucson before. You've done stuff out at Old Tucson, right?
I've worked out at Old Tucson. I made movies in Tucson. Mm-hmm. I made Whatever Happened to Aunt Alice mm-hmm. in Tucson while High Chaparral was going, and Don and Bobby Hoy, who worked on the show, mm-hmm. since passed away, was a good buddy of mine, and mm-hmm. I'd slip away from the movie set to go over with those guys and go out and have a good time in the evening.
I can imagine, knowing Don, I can imagine.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, let's talk about your early career, and specifically what motivated you to seek Westerns as the genre that you wish to act in?
Well, you know, I fell into it. When I left Key West in 1950, my parents, my stepdad and my mother moved to California. Mm-hmm. And I had several jobs. I hadn't finished high school, but I had quit high school. And I was working as a theater usher downtown Los Angeles. I worked in a gas station. I finally became the assistant manager of Grumman, or the doorman at Grumman's Chinese Theater, and mm-hmm. then the assistant manager mm-hmm. at 16 years of age.
Wow.
And ran into a whole bunch of guys that were around my age that worked in the picture business mm-hmm. that would come to the theater, you know, and over a year's period, I got friendly with them, and they kept saying, hey, why don't you get in the extra business with us? So I finally said, I'll give it a try, and I went down, applied to become an extra, and darned if it didn't work.
Huh.
And in 1952, I got into the Screen Extras Guild and worked as an extra on a motion picture a day, practically.
Wow.
I was doing real, real good.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, by then I was about 18,
mm-hmm.
registered for the draft. The Korean War was on, of course, turned 19, and got drafted. And now in the interim there, I met a fellow actor by the name of Chuck Courtney,
mm-hmm.
who played Dan Reed on the Lone Ranger television
mm-hmm.
series.
Mm-hmm.
And he had horses out in the valley, and he was a cowboy, you know, boots and Levi's,
mm-hmm.
the whole ball of wax. And we became very, very good friends, and I sort of drifted into that mode. He taught me how to ride a horse, draw a gun, do stunt fighting and all of that kind of stuff. So I sort of fell into it toward the end of my career. I was doing a little bit of stunt work there. And I had no ambitions about becoming an actor. And I got drafted. So I spent 2 years in the Army, 17 months overseas in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I came back from the Army in 55, determined to get out of the extra business and try to find a career of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
But Chuck said, absolutely not. There's a new guy in town by the name of Richard Boone, and he's teaching acting.
The Richard Boone.
Yep. Before Havgun Wiltrain.
Wow.
So I said, all right, I'll go to the class. They had just started this a couple of weeks before. Chuck was real excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
There was only about 12, 15 kids in a class. Oh, I joined it, and the very first night, Dick had me get up and do an improvisation. And after the class was over, everybody retired to a bar because...
That's what you did.
Dick, well, Don could keep up with Dick. But Dick came up to me and he said, you know, you did real good in that thing. I think you got a shot at being an actor, and I think you should join my class. I said, well, if you really believe that, I'll give it a shot. And I made up my mind right there. Started studying with him. He was teaching all us kids two nights a week for $35 a month.
Wow.
He certainly wasn't doing it for the money. It paid for the room and everything else that we had. And he was great. He was a fabulous teacher. He liked the way I progressed in class. And in 56, sent me back to New York to study at the Neighborhood Playhouse with Sandy Meisner, where he had graduated
uh-huh.
himself. And I did a six-month course back there with Sandy, came back to Hollywood, and immediately landed my first co-starring role in a motion picture with Chuck Courtney the star called Teenage Thunder.
Uh-huh.
And did another picture after that, a science fiction film. And got a small agent, and parts started getting better and better and better. And by 1959, I was doing westerns. Mm-hmm. If you remember, in those days, there were 32 westerns.
That's right. There weren't enough channels to watch them all.
No, so I had plenty of work in westerns, and I seemed to fit the mode, and it worked.
Hmm.
And in 59 at Universal Studios, they asked me to do Laramie, and there we go.
Well, according to the IMDb bio, which may or may not be accurate, there's quite the story about how you got that part in Laramie. Could you go into that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I was doing a Cimarron City with George Montgomery, a mm-hmm. really, really good guest star part. And the assistant director came up to me and said, president in charge of talent wants to see you at lunchtime. And I thought to myself, uh-oh, it's like going to the principal or something.
Really?
I must have done something wrong. Anyway, I went up to his office, and his name was Patrick Kelly, a great Irish guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in, and he said, Bob, he said, I've done quite a few shows at that studio. Two Wagon Trains, Buckskin, almost every show that Old Review had. He said, we've been watching your work, and we'd like you to do a series for us. And it just took me back. You know, I couldn't believe it.
Hmm.
And I said, my God, you know, I can't imagine anybody wanting to do a series. He said, we have a new series going starring Ray Milland. It's called Markham. It's a detective show, and there's a part for a young detective in it. And I said, whoa, excuse me.
Hmm.
I said, I don't want to do a detective show. I want to do a Western. And he said, did you hear what I just said? I said, yes, sir. He said, I just offered you a co-starring role with Ray Milland in a television series at the studio. And I said, oh, no, sir. I said, but I can't do it. I like Westerns, and I want to do a Western.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me, and he said, all right, that's it. Get out of here. So I turned around. I went out, and I said, well, that's it. I'll never work again at this studio. Anyway, I'm back, and I'm doing another show. I forget what it was at that time, and Patrick Kelly calls me back up to his office again. And I walk up into his office, go in, he looks at me, and he says, hello, star. I thought, oh, my God. Yeah. And he said, you wanted to do a Western? He said, read this. And he throws a half-hour script across the table at me, and it's called Laramie, but uh-huh. it's a half an hour.
Uh-huh.
And he said, read it, see what you think of it. So I took it out, you know, to the secretary's office, and I read it in 20 minutes or so. And it was the best Western I ever read in
wow.
my life. The part of Jess Harper
yeah.
was made for me mm-hmm. in heaven. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
I walked back in. I said, Mr. Kelly, this is the part of my dreams. Jess Harper is the part I've waited for. And he said, no, 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 we don't want you for that part. We want you for Slim, the Rancho.
Oh.
And I said, huh? I said, oh, no, I can't play that part. I can't do this. And he said, you really are a star, aren't you? You know? He said, I don't believe you. And I said, I'm sorry, sir. Jeff Harper's the part for me. I cannot play Slim Sherman. I said, oh, my God, get out of here. I said, well, this is really it now. Well, I went home, finished my day's work, and went back, went home, and the phone rang a little bit, and my agent called. Said, the studio just called and wants you to come in tomorrow and test for the part of Jess Harper in Laramie. I jumped, as the moon.
Sure.
And went in the next morning, did the test, had a quick draw to do in it and everything, which I could do
uh-huh.
pretty dadgum good.
Uh-huh.
And the test worked great. I got the part. In my original contract, it says part of Jeff, John Smith, and John Smith's name is scratched out and mine is put in.
Nice.
But I know Smitty wasn't real happy to start with, maybe the first show or two. Whatever.
Right.
But as it worked out, both of us realized that this was the way to do this show.
Yeah, yeah.
The way those two character should have been.
Sure.
And it made the show. And so we had a wonderful four seasons on that show, 124 shows.
How often does something like that come around where you test for the part that you know that you should have and that you've always wanted? Does that ever happen to, again?
No, it never will.
Yeah.
It was a miracle. It really was.
Yeah.
That part, I've done so well with that part. It stuck with me, and it really just advanced my career tremendously. But after Laramie, I immediately went into Wagon Train.
Right.
Because Ward Bond had passed away a couple of years before that, and John McIntyre had taken over. And I came on as the new scout for the last two seasons of Wagon Train.
Is it fair to say that there's a kind of a Hollywood stable of actors? Because McIntyre went on to do The Virginian also. I mean, and here he was in Wagon Train. You know, you see him pop up every now and then. We watch a lot of old Westerns here, and sometimes you see him.
You almost hit the nail on the head because, as we just discussed, there are 32 Westerns in prime time.
Yeah.
Everybody shifted around a bunch.
Yeah.
And John was a highly sought-off actor, and they were very fortunate to get him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then after the demise of the Western on television, which is most unfortunate, and at the movie, well, not so much at the movies anymore. They're starting to come back. But then you went on to do a somewhat non-traditional role. Maybe you could have been a Western doctor.
Well, I turned that down, too.
Did you? Oh, wow.
Oh, I really did. I was doing... independent films and TV and whatever, mm-hmm. and I got picked to be the spokesman for Budweiser Malt Liquor.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing that, and the makeup man one morning came up to me, and he said, "I understand you're going to do the new series at Universal." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, the word is that you're going to do a series called Emergency." And I said, no, you must be thinking of somebody else. Yeah. I don't know anything about that at all.
Yeah.
So I went home that night, and my agent called me on the phone. And he said, "Look," he said, "Jack Webb has got a brand new television series called Emergency, and he wants you and nobody else in the business to play Dr. Brackett in it." I said, "Emergency?" I said, "That's a medical show." And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, I don't want to do a medical show. I want to do a Western." And my agent said, "Are you nuts? There hasn't been a Western on the horizon in 5 years."
Yeah.
You know, and I said, "I don't care. I want to wait around and do another Western."
Sure.
I said, "Bob, you don't understand. Jack Webb wants you and only you to play Dr. Brackett in this series."
Hmm.
And I said, "Well, I've never met the man. I don't want to play a doctor. I don't want to do a medical series, but I owe the man the courtesy of going in and telling him, I don't want to do it." So he said, "They want to see you after hours at his office on the Universal lot tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And I said, "Well, okay, I'll go." So I put a suit and tie on, and I only live 5 minutes from this, you know, in Toluca Lake at Universal. And I drove over, went into Jack's office, and the secretary set me in, and Jack was sitting at his desk. And I walked up and I said, "Hi, Mr. Webb." I said, "I've enjoyed your work very much, but I just want to tell you that also in the office are all the NBC and Universal Studio brass,
mm-hmm.
vice presidents. And mm-hmm. Everybody's sitting around, have a cocktail. He's mm-hmm. got a big bar in his office." I said, "I just want to tell you that I really do not want to do a medical series." And Jack looked at me and said, "Shut up and sit down." Just like that. And I said, "What?" He said, "Do you drink?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Go make yourself a drink and come back and sit down." And I said, "What are you going to do?"
Yeah.
I went over the bar, made myself a big vodka, came back and I sat down. I left his office 2 hours later with 12 pages of a two-hour world premiere movie of the week with 12, 13 episodes to follow immediately.
Wow.
Starting to shoot in 4 days.
Wow. Yeah, they're still showing that on the reruns, too.
Oh, cable. I know. in syndication.
What a break that was. A great 8-year television series.
Sure.
Getting to work with Julie London and Bobby.
Yeah.
I had the time of my life on that, absolutely.
Well, let's do a little bit about the personal life of Bob Fuller. You live in Texas, and are you?
I do.
Do you have a ranch?
Yes, we have a ranch.
Cool.
A small ranch. We've got horses, miniature donkeys, cats, dogs, skunks.
So coyotes. So instead of playing the part of a cowboy in the movies and on television, you're doing it in real life.
Well, pretty much so. That's about basically what I did forever until about 8 years on the first.
Yeah. That's really neat. That's neat. Well, Bob.
No, we love it. Jennifer rides all the time, and we've got the horses here, and I got two big ponds on the property full of fish, and I've got a bass boat. I fish these big lakes around here, and I retired in 2004, so I'm just really, really enjoying life. Yeah, doing a lot of Western film festivals.
You also were inducted into
Cowboy Hall of Fame.
That's quite an honor.
Biggest honor I can imagine. 2008.
Wow.
I'm still smiling.
Wow, that is
never
cool.
Dreamed that would happen.
Yeah. And you've won a Spur Award.
Yeah, I won that too. Yeah.
What was it like playing the great great grandson of the character that you played on Walker, Texas Ranger?
That was written especially. Yeah, that was kind of a treat. That was fun.
Yeah.
Wade Harper. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great part. I enjoyed that. I had a lot of fun doing Walker's tonight.
Yeah. Well, Bob Fuller, thanks much for spending a bit of an afternoon with us, and we'll certainly be seeing you out at the High Chaparral Reunion March 17, 18, 19, and 20.
Thank you, Harry. It's been my pleasure.
Voices of the West will be right back. Welcome back to Voices of the West.
I'm talking with Don Collier now. He was one of the stars of the High Chaparral television series and played Sam Butler. And he's going to be at the High Chaparral Reunion. We talked with Robert Fuller earlier, and he had a lot of good compliments for you and comments. And why is this important? This reunion so important, Don?
Well, it's important to try to keep the old West alive. We had a lot of good shows back in the 50s and 60s and into the 70s, and they've all disappeared. I don't know why they haven't brought some back. We had about 40, 45 shows one time there, and they were just a good reflection on the early United States. There's some good stories, some good actors, a ton of good actors, and they're almost all gone now. We've got we get a few of what's left coming to the reunion, and to people that weren't in a lot of the Westerns, but they were in a lot of the movies and TV shows back in the 60s and 70s. And we got a lot of good events planned out there, and some good shows, some good stuff to see, and good audience participation. And we've got a good crowd coming. There's, I think, 300 or 400 people going to be there.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a big crowd, and if we'd like to see everybody we can get a hold of going out there and have a good time with us.
How many of those Westerns from 40, 50 years ago were you in? I know I've seen you in a couple of Gunsmokes, I've seen you in a couple of Bonanzas, and of course the High Chaparral.
And Death Valley Days, I did about 5 or 6 of those. Virginian, Wagon Train, did you mention Gunsmoke? Gunsmoke. I didn't work in the Big Valley, but it was on about the same time. Half Gun Will Travel, Black Saddle. The names of much more escape me, but Stagecoach West, I think, was one with Wayne Rogers, old
Trapper John. Yeah.
Yeah, Trapper John was on. What the devil's name of that show?
Trapper John, M.D. What prompted you to get into the acting business and get into doing cowboy-related, that genre?
Hunger.
That's a good answer.
I'm just kidding. My folks worked for an old actor in the San Fernando Valley out there just north of Los Angeles. And when I got out of the service in the Merchant Marines, they put me to work there with the he had about 100 head of mama cows, and he had horses down there, and he put me to work in that the cattle end of it. And we did a lot of doctoring of the cows and branding, a lot of roping calves, branding calves, and just looking after those mama cows. And we had a few bulls down there, and horses, rode a lot. And Francis Letter, he's dead now, been dead for several years, but he encouraged me to try my hand at acting. He had classes there at his ranch at night, mama classes. And he asked me if I'd like to participate, and I noticed that some of the clientele that were coming out, they were pretty young girls. So as long as he asked me, I said, you bet your life I'd like to join that class. I got involved in it and liked it and was pretty good at it. And Francis got me some interviews. I started picking a little work. And then I had a scholarship, a football scholarship, Pride and Simmons University down in Texas, Abilene, Texas. I decided to go down there and give that a shot. And I was pretty good at football, but lousy at studying. So I dropped out of college, went back to L.A., and went into the chicken business with a friend of mine. We had a retail store, a slaughterhouse. And one week we'd work at the retail store, the next week we'd work at the slaughterhouse.
What year was that?
That would have been about 1954, 55, around there.
Did you know Mel Fisher? He had a chicken farm in the Los Angeles area.
Boy, his name was familiar. Yeah, I'm sure I did.
Yeah, he's the guy who discovered a group of gold off the Florida Keys, the treasure-laden Atocha. That was one of his big things. He decided to give up chicken farming and become a treasure hunter, and he finally became successful.
Boy, he hit it big, didn't he?
He sure did, yeah.
I got tired of all the chicken blood and chicken manure all over me when I was working at that slaughterhouse. Decided to go back into picture business, so I went into Hollywood and joined a dramatic workshop over there, Estelle Harmer's workshop, and I was there about 3 years, and I really got myself an agent as a result, and started getting a few jobs in the late 50s, did some stage plays, and then I picked up that first series, The Outlaws, me and Slim Pickens. We did that for 2 years, then we bumped off. We had a good show, but they owed that hour to somebody else, so we lost our time slot. And then I worked in a lot of those other westerns in the middle 60s. And then I got that High Chaparral in 66. And we did that till 71.
Right.
And one with Anthony Quinn and a few more. And then in the 70s. 70s, the westerns kind of started dying out, fading away. And I started doing a lot of commercials. And one of my favorite commercials was Hubba Bubba Bubblegum. And I would rescue the, I would get rid of the bad guy in the commercials. And then at the end, I'd say, Big Bubbles, No Troubles. And I did that for about 8 years, along with a bunch of other commercials. I went down to Australia and did the Bubblegum down there, and it was a good job, an excellent job for me.
Talk about the casting for the High Chaparral. Were you wanting to get the part of Sam Butler?
When I did The Outlaws a few years prior to that, I became friends with all the guys that did Bonanza, and one of the guys was old Ken McRae. He was a production manager. And when they were casting High Chaparral, Kent Mr. Me. And Billy Claxton was going to direct it, and he agreed with Kent. And so they called me up and asked me if I wanted to do it. I said, you bet I'll do it.
Wow.
And so I went to work on it. It was about the high point of my acting career.
Yeah. Well, it obviously, in my mind, and in a lot of others' minds, it was a great television series. What do you remember most about the High Chaparral in terms of any great stories that you can pass on? Remember, this is a family show.
Well, you mean stories after hours or?
Yeah, well, you know, on camera stuff. Bunker de France told me a story about one situation where a saguaro got knocked down in front of the ranch house during a meeting or something, and a production meeting, and they had to replace it with a fake saguaro. And every time I'm watching, I'm looking for that particular saguaro. And I don't know if that was on the soundstage or if it was actually on set itself.
I remember that situation, yeah, that one, it did, it got, I forget what knocked it down, but they had to make it, put a phonium in there so it would look the same as it did in all the rest of the shows.
I think it was Vaquero who knocked it down.
Well, he knocked a lot of stuff down, especially a lot of beer. But we all drank a lot of beer. You know, when you're doing a Western, you're shooting outdoors mostly.
Sure.
And you're, best time to shoot, of course, is when you have a lot of daylight.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd shoot from April until November. And those middle months down there in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
it's really hot. I'll mm-hmm. tell you what, when they knock off shooting about 7 o'clock in the evening, and you'd make for that drip truck to get into a nice cold beer,
mm-hmm.
grab about two or three stands of beer to last you until you got into town.
And hit the next hole, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we would sit down there for the old two-side Hilton. We'd get in from work. We'd have some beer there at the old Hilton Church bar in there. It was a great, great old bar. We had a lot of fun in there, a lot of good laughs, a lot of good times.
Talk about the relationship on screen and off screen with Bobby Hoy. I mean, and on screen, you guys were brothers, and I know there's a story around that, but I honestly can't remember what it was.
Well, there's Bobby Hoy was great. He was we became very good friends. We met in Estelle Harmon's workshop in 1956, and Bobby had been in the business. Oh, we both got in about the same time in 1948. And I, of course, dropped out for a few years, and he kept on going. He was a stuntman primarily,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't a bad old actor. He can handle himself pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided he wanted to improve himself, so he joined that workshop in Hollywood. I think he joined about 1955, and I got in there in 1956, and we became friends there. And then when I started working more towards the end of the 1950s, we'd run into each other a lot of times on totally different shows. He was doing stunts and I'd be doing a part. And when we got the okay to do High Chaparral, I was tickled to death to find out he was going to play my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he was pleased too. And we had a great time. We'd drive down to Tucson together a lot, and we just became fast friends. And of course Bobby died about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
He was one of the best horseback guys in the business, and was a metal actor. He could do pretty good.
Yeah, I remember that the very first time when the Cannons meet you guys in the bar, and you and Bobby are going at it.
Yeah, you know he was supposed to be the older brother, and we had that bar fight in the bar there, and then when we at the end of the at it was a big, long fight. It was a long take.
Uh-huh.
And during the scene, I said something about, well, there goes my little brother. He's out cold or something. So when Bill said cut, I said, Bill, we got to do that scene again because I called him my younger brother. He said, guess what, Don? He is your younger brother.
So
I became the older brother.
The plot lines of the Chaparral series, it wasn't necessarily the standard Western. I mean, there was conflict and that sort of thing, but it was like working together and for a common good is what I kind of get out of it.
Well, I think it was probably the the most honest Western outside of Rawhide. Mm-hmm. They used a lot of cattle. We used cattle down then. But we attempted to be, of course, a cattle ranch in the Arizona desert. A lot of people have argued with that about nobody raises cattle in Arizona. And we always counted that with, yes, we can. It takes 50 acres per head, but we can do it. And we tried to be an authentic cattle ranch, and I believe we were the only show that had Indian problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then we brought some Mexican actors into the show, and it was a pretty well-rounded concept. You know, and it worked real good for us. And the powers that be in New York City to control all that stuff at the time, they probably still do, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They decided that they were going to cancel it for whatever reason. I don't know. But it was a pretty well-rated show.
Yeah.
And didn't deserve to be canceled at the time because we had a lot of followers. A lot of people enjoyed that show.
Sure. Sure.
But you never know. They come and they go.
Well, as I was telling Robert, it seems like they're could be a reprise of the Chaparral when you take when Blue left the series to pursue his studies. It could be picked up from there, and he could come back to the ranch and start it all over again. Of course, I don't know that the rest of the cast wouldn't be the original cast, of course, but it certainly the stories are there.
If they want me out, they better hurry.
Yeah. You'll be the foreman.
Yeah. Well, we got. I'm 87 years old now, but I've still got a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
We have a project called Arizona, the West of the Story,
mm-hmm.
that we're working on. It would be similar to the old Death Valley days. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You remember that?
Oh yeah, I used to watch that religiously. Yeah.
And we've got some plans. We're going to try to put that together in the next 6 or 7 months.
Well, that's cool.
See if we can get something going. I know there's a spot somewhere for a pretty good Western on the TV. You know, there's so much garbage on there now that, well, at least I call it garbage.
Yeah.
A lot of people I know are not too pleased with it. But I think a good Western, good honest Western.
Right.
Would do good. We would tailor it to real Arizona stories, like bank robberies, mm-hmm. stagecoach robberies.
Well, that's cool.
All kinds of Western stuff that happened in there. True stories that happened in Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
During the old frontier days.
Not the legends that are sometimes printed, right?
yeah, that's right. We try to be as honest as we could and do true stuff, because there's a ton of true stories. We've got a list of 100 spots that we can do.
Wow. Wow, that would be incredible.
You bet.
So,
a lot of fun.
So, was the Chaparral, you mentioned that was the high point, it still is the high point for you, right?
The High Chaparral and the two movies I did with John Wayne.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were pretty well up there in my career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, working with that old man was a real treat.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So at the reunion, you'll be there at the reunion along with a number of other folks. What do you got planned for the reunion? Anything specific?
I'm going to do a one man show that will last about an hour and a half. And me and Penny McQueen do it. And I just tell some stories about my life,
mm-hmm.
when I went through the picture business, and it's an interesting hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we have reenactments, we have horseback rides, we have dealers coming in with Western memorabilia they sell.
Mm-hmm.
We have dinners, lunches, and Sue McRae is going to do an hour and a half show with one of the great musicians from Las Vegas, Vinny Falcone.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming in to accompany her. That's mm-hmm. going to be a good show. I believe that's Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Friday or Saturday night, I can't. But there's a lot of good stuff happening. A lot of excitement. A lot of people. We're going to have a big crowd this year. The biggest one. And we've gone outside, of course, the Chaparral to get people because we're running out of High Chaparral people.
Yeah.
But we've got some interesting folks from some of the other shows that are going
to
be there.
Do you still ride, Don? Do you still do any kind of ranching?
I do a little bit of riding, but not like the old days. Because if you fall off at 87, the old balls don't bend like they used to.
Well, you're a stuntman. Yep. You're supposed to know how to fall.
I know how to fall. It's getting up at this age and stuff.
I hear that. I hear that. All right, Don, I certainly appreciate the chance to speak with you again and as a prelude to the High Chaparral reunion. I'm going to be out there on Thursday and Friday to meet up with other folks and do some more interviews with some of the stars of the Westerns. And
that's great. I didn't know that. That's great. That'd be good.
All right, Don.
Oh.
All right, guys. Hey.
Great job.
Good job. Harry, you're good. You can have this show when I, you know, anytime.